This is the ODG Apparel Podcast.
Wait, I'm not understanding. Why does an apparel company have a podcast, though?
Because they're that awesome.
How's it going, guys? Dave from ODG Apparel. We have we have a very special episode today that we want to release, and that's honestly why it's not. We usually like to release on Wednesdays, but it took us a little bit to put all this together for you guys. But basically what I had been thinking about, praying about, and just sort of going back and forth with the team about is, man, what could we do? How could we create a podcast that really speaks to kind of what people are going through? And so this is sort of like a special edition for the coronavirus, and just really our hope is, if I can simplify exactly what my hope is with this podcast, is that we would be able to speak truth into the midst of the chaos. And so what we did is we sort of reached out to anyone that's been on the podcast before. We reached out to even some of you guys, some of the fans, some of the listeners on Instagram and over email, and just sort of said, hey, we want to hear from you. We want to hear what is the Lord teaching you in this season? What are you learning? What is your church going through? How can we pray for you? And so this is just a collection of all of that content that we created. So I don't know right now when I'm recording this if that'll be a longer episode or shorter episode. I really don't know. But my hope is, my prayer in all of this is that this episode would encourage you. My family is going through the coronavirus stuff. Your family is going through the coronavirus stuff. Your churches, we all are. The big thing I want our community to hear is that we're here for you. As ODG Apparel, it's always been so much more than apparel. That is just a small part of what this is today. It's a small part of where we're going. It's a small part of our hope and our vision for everything. But just importantly, I want you guys to see this is so not just about apparel, right? Like, I want to point all of you and myself and the people who work for us and the people we buy product from. I want everyone that we interact with to lean into Jesus, to get more comfortable trusting in Jesus, to see him for who he really is, to hope in him, to love the church more, just all of that. And so my hope in this podcast in particular, but in all of our episodes, that you would just see Jesus as really beautiful, as really worth it, as really full of hope. And so, yeah, I think step one is we're going to lean into a bunch of conversations that we had with some of our past guests, some Christian speakers, some Christian authors, just some wise people that I really respect and trust and wanted to hear from. Like, hey, what are you thinking through? So we're going to jump right into those interviews, super short, 5-10 minute interviews with some pastors, some writers, some authors, just sort of picking their brain and asking them, hey, what is the Lord teaching this season? How can we get hope in the midst of chaos? So I hope you enjoyed those interviews. Yeah. All right, Michael, how's it going, my man?
It's going well. Going well.
We got the headphones figured out. We weren't sure if coronavirus got the headphones, but we're all good.
Yeah, they did.
This is our coronavirus sort of, I don't know, I don't want to call it an emergency episode, but sort of just a last minute something we threw together, because it's been really important to me that just in the midst of all of this, we as Christians try to find a way to connect in some way and remember the truth of Christ in all of this. And so what's it been like for you kind of going through this mentally, as you know, with your family, with your church body? I mean, just what's it been like for you guys?
Well, first with the family, it's been interesting is the word, but like really nothing a whole lot has changed for us, in the sense that my wife homeschools the kids, so that's not changed. Right now, like where I'm at, like I'm still going to work, so nothing's changed there. Honestly, we're just washing our hands more and trying not to touch our face, which is very hard.
Isn't it like the second you tell yourself not to touch your face, you want to touch it all the time?
I didn't realize how many times I wanted to itch my face during I'm just wondering how I'm not dead yet. Like if I already touched my face that much, how did I make it this long in life? But as far as our family, like it's not the biggest thing that I think has shifted is, my daughter's a teenager. So for her, like, you know, she has a lot of friends that are talking about it and she's very aware of it and kind of anxious about it. So, a lot of it, if anything's changed, it's just been us speaking, you know, the word into her as far as, you know, about anxiety and not worry. I mean, that God's got it, all that kind of thing. So that's been the biggest thing in our family. As far as church life, a lot of, I know.
Like, are you guys doing service?
Well, we did last week. That was the last week we did. And it was the weirdest thing because, like, so we're a very affectionate church in the sense that we're going to hug, we're going to shake hands, we're going to give each other, you know, back slaps, that kind of thing. And it was just this really awkward, okay, I guess no one's touching anyone today. Like, it was just really strange. Sure. Like, it was, you could visibly see people were purposefully sitting farther away from each other. And you know, people weren't shaking hands, obviously, and that sort of thing. And it was when they announced, you know, they were going to break for children's church, like everybody was just kind of this awkward, oh, we're doing this kind of thing. Like, it was just really strange. And the weird thing is, like, so where I'm at in Indiana, it's not like chaotic. It's not like everybody and their brother has it. It's just like this real sense of, okay, this is a real thing. So,
it was something to take seriously.
Yeah. So that's the only thing that's really changed. Now this week, we're not having services anymore. And for us, it's really interesting because we've never done like online streaming. We've never done that. So it's a challenge to figure out, okay, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do in place? How long does this kind of project? So just really working out, how are we still going to be the body while not maybe meeting for a minute? So
that's exactly right. Like, really struggling, like, how does the church meet this head on, but also not lose its power, right? Mm-hmm. By being the church. Yeah.
So yeah, that's the big thing. And I think though it's a challenge. I mean, I've talked with quite a few pastors just this last week about it. I think it can, I mean, obviously it's a challenge. It's something that, you know, we're gonna have to work through, but it's opportunity in that there's really this potential to be a lot more intimate or close than we have been before, because now you're forced into small groups. Like, there's no hiding. There's no, you're just in the congregation. It's now that, you know, you're in this group of 10 or little or smaller, and you're going to work through what we've talked about. You're going to kind of now have to talk through the sermon. You can't just sit there, listen, and leave. Like, it's kind of a forced intimacy almost. So it's kind of better in the sense that now you can't just blend in. You actually have to participate. So
no, that's a good point. That's good. So what would be, I mean, you have an Instagram account where you have a ton of people who follow mm-hmm. you, who are probably, you know, similar to the people who follow us. So what would be your sort of truth? What would be the truth that you think that we need to be hearing as the church right now as we kind of navigate this?
Well, I think the biggest thing is to understand that God's got it. As far as mm-hmm. God is sovereign, he's in control of everything. One of the verses really, I mean, I know there's a bunch of verses that have been thrown out, but for me, it's like Romans chapter 8, right? So where it's talking about who shall separate us from the love of Christ, shall tribulation or distress or those sort of things. And it's one of those things where we're like, okay, your theology, and this is what I've noticed too, a lot of conversations I've had with people, your theology in this moment is really coming to the surface. Like, it's hide behind the superficial, oh, well, I love Jesus. Like, what you really believe is going to be shown. So if you believe he's in control.
So that's so, so good. Do you mind fleshing that out a bit more so people kind of connect with what you're saying? Because I think that's an unbelievable point that you're making.
Yeah. So, for example, there was somebody that had, we're doing prayer requests in these groups, and somebody said, you know, we just need to pray, and we need to have enough faith, and we need to, we need to have enough faith that, you know, he can cure it and he can take care of it. And that opened up a real good conversation for, okay, well, is it us having enough faith that we can do enough and he'll react to it? Or is it that he's got it and we just need to be in line with the fact that he's sovereign? So it's really stripping back a lot of those layers to where now. So, for example, I mean, I guess the easiest way to say it is that a lot of my Reformed friends I've noticed are really like, God's got it. He's sovereign. He's, you know, he's over all things. And I'm going to trust him in all of this, no matter how bad it gets or how good it is. He is sovereign. He's got it all. And some of my more Arminian friends are, you know, you can kind of see that coming out too, where it's kind of like, well, what is he doing in this? We need to, you know, it's more of a, not that I don't mean to generalize, but it's more of a chaotic sort of thing. So it's just really interesting to see these conversations come out to where what you believe about who God is and how he interacts with us is bubbling to the surface now. So it's not.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's so good. Yeah. Even people who might say, I believe that God's in control of all things, and then something like this happens, and they're like, they don't act like they actually believe that, right? Yeah. Like, we start to panic.
Yeah, there's this real big separation between, you know, like I said, that theology being fleshed out to where I'm not, you know, freaking out or panicking because, look, I'm going to be cautious. I'm going to be prepared. But I know at the end of the day, like, no matter what I do, isn't going to change what his plan is. It's not going to change anything he's already preordained. He knows what's going to happen. He's in control of it. And whatever part I play in that, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to fall in line with whatever that is rather than, you know, trying to have enough faith or manipulate. I'll do these good things. Just don't let me die. Like those sort of things. I mean, it's just a matter of, I really like it in that sense, in the fact that like these conversations are being forced out into the open now, and you have to have them. So
it's good. Anything else we're missing that the church needs? I'm trying to think of the stuff that I've just been wrestling with. Like, I think really for me, I was just at an elders meeting kind of working through what does our church do with all of this, you know, like how do we prepare for possibly being only digital for the next 8, you know, 9, 10 weeks or whatever it may be. Just one of the things that we were talking through and I was reminded of in the meeting is like the church for all of history, even today, like actively in rural parts of the world, like they've wrestled with all kinds of craziness. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like we kept talking about like, how do we project and communicate normalcy to our people? And I'm like, that's good. It's a good thought. But also at the same time, like the normalcy of the Christian church has always been responding to the craziness of the world around it and doing and living the gospel out in the midst of that chaos, right? Like when, you know what I mean? Christians never should be trying to find this groove where it just feels normal. What? Right? Like we have always in every society just followed the spirit in the midst of all the chaos, right? And so it's like we should remember that that's normal for like Christians in Syria, right? Mm-hmm. Like in missionaries in God knows where, like they're always dealing with crazy situations like this and just sort of responding to it and trusting Jesus.
Well, and I think that's a great point. So it's a matter of, so one of the conversations I had was, okay, yeah, so we obviously need to we obviously need to make a jump into digital for sure. But in the sense of that, let's just not do that to make it to where, okay, well, we can't have physical church. Now we're just going to have online church. Let's take this opportunity to, you know, okay, so we can't meet in groups bigger than 10, say. All right, well, let's purposely make that, force us into groups of 10 to be more intimate. And in that, not just, you know, acclimate to the culture to where, well, everybody's got to go digital because everybody's quarantined. Let's be the church and say, okay, what can we do in our community now that is distinctively Christian that the world isn't doing? Yeah. So like, obviously the elderly are susceptible to this. What can we do as the church to take care of, for example, the widow and the orphan and the elderly in this time and live out the gospel so that the world says, okay, you're supposed to be quarantined. And we're going to say, hey, we're being cautious. We're following the government. We are doing what we're supposed to do, but we also are called to take care of these people. And we're going to be able, we're going to do that however we need, you know, however we can do that to where we're not just, you know, we're always saying, let's just not do church. Let's not just go on Sunday morning. Well, now we can't even do that. So let's not just do online church in our pajamas. Let's actually, you know, we're being forced outside the walls, but let's not just be forced outside of those four walls into another four walls. Let's be forced out into the actual community to maybe.
Let's be creative. Yeah. Let's be sacrificial. Like, let's not take this as a vacation. Exactly. Right? Let's take this as an opportunity, even if that means praying for our neighbors, right? Or calling. Like, that was some of the things. Like, man, we should be calling people. Our phones should be something that we're using in this time to, like, reach out to those people and saying, how can I serve you? Right? And maybe that looks like someone who's in their 20s who's not really susceptible to it, going to a store and buying groceries and delivering them and being super cautious and maybe even wearing gloves and a mask, but then delivering it to someone who's in their 60s or 70s, or like that's us being radically different than the world.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I mean, there's obviously rules you need to follow. The CDC has a really clear list that's put out. The government's obviously put a really clear list out, but it's not said anything. I mean, look, you wash your hands, you don't touch your face, you wear the appropriate stuff, you stay 6 feet away. I mean, DoorDash is still delivering. So why can't the church also deliver stuff, right? Just do it in the same parameters and do it in such a way that when you say, why are you doing that? well, we're the church and that's what we were supposed to do.
Yeah, that's what we've always done. Yeah.
So you can't, I mean, like you said, in other countries, they're not like, oh, there's persecution, I guess we can't do it.
I guess we'll go online.
Yeah, they're doing it in spite of that. So we can't just be like, well, we'll just do this now in a different way. Well, let's use this as an opportunity to say, okay, if this is a wake-up call, let's be drastically woken up then. So, and then actually go out and, you know, do something.
I love it. Michael, thanks so much for taking the time, man, to chat with us. And I'm sure we'll circle up maybe, you know, soon again and kind of, who knows how long this thing will be going on for.
Just roll the dice.
I just wanted to keep bringing voices in who could share life and speak truth into the chaos. So thanks for taking the time. Keep enjoying your family, and we're praying for you, my man.
Thank you.
Thanks, dude. So we got Hillary Jane on the podcast. Hillary Jane, how are you doing?
I am doing well. I am at home 24/7.
You are quarantined. So that's really the whole point of this podcast, is just to kind of check in and talk about kind of what it's been like. So what's your personal experience been like kind of with this whole craziness?
Definitely. So I think because I'm kind of always quarantined, because I work from home with my husband, so it didn't at first seem like such a big deal to me. Until I realized and remembered that my mom has cancer and her blood count is so low already that she had to stop taking chemo. So if she got COVID-19, she would probably not recover. And it's especially like in her lungs and things like that. So that's when I really started to fear. I wasn't really fearing for myself. My life hadn't changed much. But then thinking about I could spread it to my mom. I just came from out of the country for 2 weeks. All of that stuff. So I have had my moments of fear, mostly for spreading it, not necessarily getting it.
But yeah, same.
Yeah. But the Lord is helping me with that. I can't say it's all the way gone, especially on my mom's front, because I would hate to feel personally like, oh no, I gave my sick mom, you know, this disease. But
I'm just
trying to do my part and not laugh at the government that I kind of was in the beginning, like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. I was that person. But now I'm like, no, let's stay home, you know, let's wash our hands. So I know that God's in control. So
yeah, and so that's sort of the question, like, how is God? I know that you're especially in the content that you create, you're always pushing this truth of, hey, we got to be people of the word. And so what's the Lord been teaching you in this season?
I think it was great. On Sunday morning, our pastor spoke about anxiety and depression and just kind of spiritual ways and practical ways, which practical is always linked to spiritual anyways, but that we can not fall into that sin and not let it take over. So anxiety doesn't necessarily have to be sinful, but when we let it take over our thought life and we let it overwhelm what we know is true about God, that God didn't wake up one day and say, oh crap, there's a virus spreading around the world. What will I do? I didn't see this coming. If anything, God is sovereign, which means he didn't necessarily make things happen, but he allows things to happen. So he knows what he's doing. And it really just comes, I think it boils down to, do you believe that God is good in everything he does? Because it's easy to say when it's like, oh, I just got a pay raise, or oh, my kid's doing well in school, or we finally got pregnant, or whatever it may be. It's easy to say God is good. But do you believe that God is good in the really hard times? And I think that's maybe just a heart check that he's trying to give to me right now, and maybe a lot of other believers around too.
No, I think that's so good. That idea of like, We have to remember that in even the craziest seasons, God is in control of the weather, right? Like that is so important. It's just crazy how on a dime everything could change. I think that to me is one of the things that's been the most unnerving, how you can like wake up and be like, wow, things are radically different than they were 24 hours ago or 48 hours ago. And like we're having to think about things that, something that I probably have said like 1,000 times in recording these like mini interviews, is just like, it's so crazy to think of God in a moment can halt all of humanity, right? Like you think, well, we're such a big system. Like God would have to work hard to do fill in the blank. Or if he were to do something crazy, it would be like lightning from the sky and we'd see him. It's like, mm-hmm. no, like we feel really small in this moment. And it's just a reminder of how limited we all are.
Mm-hmm. And it's good to be reminded that, because I think when humans are doing well and we're succeeding and we're doing ministry and we're making money in our businesses and da 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 da, it's easy to fall into this self-sufficiency, but we are not mm-hmm. called to be self-sufficient. We are called every day to wake up and pray for our daily bread. Like, that wasn't just a coincidence that God said that. He literally wants us every day to wake up and say, I am nothing without you. Please give me what I need for my day.
That's so good, yeah. It's so good to connect it to this. Like, it's mm-hmm. when we hear that idea of give us this daily bread, we don't think about moments like this, right? And it's mm-hmm. like, no, this moment just happens to remind us that, man, we really don't know what each day is, and we should trust him every day for those things. That's good. Well, hey, anything else that you think we should be thinking about as a church, like even just people who are listening, like any sort of encouragement that you think they need?
Yeah, I really am super proud of my local church, because they have really done what scripture says and been the hands and feet of Christ. I see younger people saying, hey, moms, grandparents, if you need to go to the store, or if you this or that, one, I can go for you. I'm, you know, healthier, more able-bodied, or two, I can watch your kids. Moms still have to work, but kids are out of school. Our entire state, all the kids are home for a mm-hmm. few weeks. So just seeing people reach out online and say, let me serve you and let me help you, I think are the small things that we should be thinking about. If you're able,
I love that.
Other people need help. So.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time to do this short little interview, but I think it's powerful for the church to hear voices encouraging them towards truth rather than chaos when it feels like everything's chaos. So, hey, thank you so much for doing this. You rock. We're praying for you, and we're praying for your mom and thinking about her. And so, keep seeking Jesus. So thank you.
Yes, thanks.
All right, guys, we got Glenna Marshall on the podcast. Glenna, how's it going?
It's going well under all the circumstances.
Yeah, so what's it like for you guys where you're living?
Well, we're in kind of a rural setting, and I find that really at any given time I could talk to someone who is very fearful or someone who thinks the whole thing is ridiculous. So I feel like we're trying to find a middle ground between panic and then just completely ignoring what's going on.
That's understandable, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of, I feel like no one really knows what to think. It's so all over the place.
Yeah, it is. But I find that this is a great time for Christians to pay attention to what's going on, and really find, really try to strike a balance between panic and preparation, between worry and concern. And I feel like as a church in my town, we're really trying to honor the codes and things that are being set in place and love our neighbors by stepping away from our neighbors physically, but also trying to lean in emotionally and spiritually. And so, I mean, that's playing out in some different ways. My husband is one of my pastors, and he's in the next room making calls. Our leadership divided up our church membership, and they're just making calls and making lists of things to do. Can I go to the store? Can I go to the pharmacy for you? Particularly our older members who mm-hmm. don't need to be outside of their homes. And so, we are, physically prepared with supplies, but I went to the store thinking, what can I do for my neighbors and the elderly members at church? I find that this is such a good time for Christians to care, like really actively put our deeds behind the words that we share about loving our neighbors.
So true. I love that idea of reaching out and being intentional to pursue people in this time rather than viewing it as like a vacation from the gospel.
right.
Because you can do that on accident.
Yeah, you could just hole up in your house and just kind of Netflix and chill for the next 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's what we're called to do as believers. And historically, that's not what Christians have done. During times of crisis, Christians lean into it and they run towards it, not foolishly, but with the care for their neighbor at, you know, just kind of the forefront, because I also think this is when we get to show people, you know, we are secure in Christ and he has given us so much hope because he has saved us. We have so much hope to offer you. And so we can sacrifice our, you know, stockpile and share with other people because we have been loved by Christ. And mm-hmm. so I think of all the people that should be seeking out ways to help, it should be believers.
Yeah. And what would you say to someone who's almost too anxious to even think like that?
I'll tell you, I went this morning. I mean, I have had my moments of anxiety. I had trouble sleeping last night, and I got up this morning and really tried to settle my soul around Romans 8. And I was really comforted just by that truth that Paul writes, that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And he talks about a lot of things that seem kind of fantastic and big, but then he says things like, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. Like these are things akin to, you know, an epidemic. And so I find that the scriptures are just so relevant to reminding us as believers, if you are in Christ, your soul is safe and your heart is safe. If you've trusted Christ with your eternity, you can trust him with today. And so that would be my encouragement. Go to the scriptures and find comfort in what is true, not the like what ifs that could possibly happen down the road.
It's so, yeah. What ifs, right? Like it's our entire lives right now are what ifs.
Yes.
Like, will our kids be in school in a month? You know, what if they're not? How, what does my job look like? And yet,
yeah, we can't know the answer to that.
Well, and I think what's crazy is we didn't know the answer to it before, but we felt like we did.
That's right. I think we're realizing quickly that all the control we thought we had was just an illusion. And so now we know we have to lean on Christ. We may not have known it so much a week ago or 2 weeks ago, but now we know it. We really know it. And that's not the worst place in the world to be, to know how desperate we are for the Lord.
That's true. It's so good. Glenna, thanks for taking the time to chat with us and just being wisdom for us and reminding us to lean into Jesus. Thank you for that.
Oh, thanks for asking me.
Of course. All right, so we got Sam Hayes, who we've had on the podcast before. Sam's a good friend of mine from college, but also a pastor in Florida. And yeah, Sam, I just wanted to reach out and kind of hear what it's been like as a pastor leading during these times and sort of what's going on in your world with this kind of crazy sort of momentous situation.
Yeah, man. Happy to be back on the podcast. It has been certainly uncertain times. So yeah, it's just weird. Like for me, I'm thinking through how to do youth ministry in a way that's rooted in the incarnation in a world that's completely digital. And that's the thing we're working through right now.
So maybe flesh that out a little bit more. When you say like incarnation, the idea of like Christ came and put on skin and it was, you know, lived among us. And so you're thinking, man, how do we do that when we're not really allowed right at this moment to live among the people? Is that kind of what
absolutely.
You mean?
Like, I think, I love Eugene Peterson's paraphrase when he says, Jesus moved into our neighborhood. And now we're not allowed to be within 6 feet of each other. So how can we have face-to-face, skin-to-skin interaction when we're relegated to, quarantine and social distancing? Because I think this element of doing community together in person, in the flesh, incarnationally, is vitally important to the life of the church. And so how do we now leverage this time to do ministry that way, even though we can't do it now, to do it that way in the future?
So do you feel like, because it's something we've wrestled with in our church, like what should the church do something differently than the world is doing? Like people are like, well, the church shouldn't be in fear and we should, you know, but I just feel like we should also be wise and we should also be like aware of like just reality. Like, I don't know. How are you wrestling? Are you wrestling with like, man, should we do things differently? And should we avoid, should we not care about these social distancing and these quarantine things? Because we're the church and we should meet together, or Where's your head at with all that stuff?
It's certainly a fine line, and it's something we've talked about as a staff here. And in fact, this past Sunday, we put a video out to our congregation, and we said, hey, we're still meeting this week, but we've, you know, taken these steps. We've put hand sanitizer everywhere. We've disinfected every area where people are going to be. We canceled our Sunday school hour. We canceled our cafe hour. And we just had our worship service time. And we even encouraged people, if you're not well or if you don't feel well, we encourage you to stay home. I mean, we're streaming online. We're doing everything. And at that point, this is when the CDC had said no gatherings over 250. And we knew we were going to be below that. So we felt like, I mean, one of the things that's been important to us is we read Romans 13. We see God has put leadership over us, leadership that we want to honor. And we felt like we could still meet and honor that leadership. Now, later.
Yeah, that's sort of what we did as well.
Later that day, it said no gatherings of more than 50. And then the next morning, the White House came out and said no gatherings of 10 or more. And so this week we're transitioning to completely online. So we're not even going to stream our service. We're going to pre-record it, edit it together to kind of try to give the best finished product we can for our people to engage with. A lot of that will come with small group questions, breaks in the midst of the sermon to try to engage people in a way that we couldn't if we had them here. So I think a lot of it is like taking this digital world and realizing that there are actually embodied people on the other end of whatever media we're streaming through, and leveraging this to have them do incarnational ministry with each other. Because I mean, you can't pause in the middle of a sermon on a Sunday morning and say, hey, jot these few things down and take some time to think about this, and we'll just wait on you. But if we're putting out a video and say, hey, pause here, do this, talk about this, have this discussion, and then we'll come back and engage more. So I think a lot of this is we're focusing on how to leverage this for the sake of doing incarnational ministry, even though we as pastoral staff can't be right next to our people.
Yeah, that's good. So what would you say to someone listening to this podcast? Just how should we be thinking about this as the church? You know, just the coronavirus, the panic, the what should we be doing missionally? Like, what's your sort of big, hey, I need people to hear this. What's the Lord been putting on your mind and heart?
Absolutely. There are people that are completely well today who in 2 to 3 weeks' time will be dead. And we need to let that sink in. That reality of death, of mortality, should be something we soak on. Because when we do that, when we wrestle and grapple with our own mortality, I think it serves almost as a compass for our affections. Are we really set on true north? Are we really spending time the way we want to be spending time? Because I think if we did that, if we wrestled with our mortality and even thought like the people who are well today that could be not breathing in 3 weeks' time, if we take that a step further and say that could be us, we really have to evaluate how we're spending our days. And that's what the psalmist says in Psalm 90, verse 12. Teach me to number my days that I might present to you a heart of wisdom. And that really should change the way we spend our time. And I'm so thankful for a God who redeems the time. Like in this time of confusion and fragility, I think we should be the people who are the boldest to talk about resurrection, because death in the Christian life is not the end. It is the beginning of something far better.
That's good. Sam, I love you, my man. Too, I'm praying for you and your family and your church, and myself and ODG Apparel. We're glad to be partnered with you in some small way, and thank you for your wisdom and your insight. And yeah, I'm really glad that we had this conversation. All right, so we got Jen Oshman on this sort of coronavirus special edition podcast. Jen, what's it been like with this whole thing? How are you thinking through this whole craziness that we're going through?
Well, it's been really chaotic, like for everybody else in the world. My family actually travels internationally quite a bit, and we were just on a trip that got short. We came home unexpectedly on Saturday or Sunday. Can't remember. It's all a blur at this point. But
yeah,
for our family, it's been strange because we are accustomed to traveling quite a bit, and so it's been very much like, should we go? Should we stay? What should we be doing? We want to walk in faith. We don't want to walk in fear, but we also want to be wise. And so our trip was cut short, and actually my husband and myself and our three kids, we decided we would self-quarantine because we've been through multiple airports and in multiple cities where there are indeed outbreaks. And so we've decided, you know what, the right thing to do is for our family to just go ahead and stay home for the next 2 weeks. So that's where we're at right now.
Wow. So any kind of back and forth as a family kind of navigating that, or was it pretty like, hey, this is what we should do, and everyone kind of felt good about that? Because I feel like in the church, there's sort of a conversation where it's like, well, hold on a second. The church should be out and about and serving and caring, and we shouldn't be fearful. You know, like, do you hear that conversation in the church happening where it's like almost like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just.
No, I do for sure. And we're having that in our own family. In fact, we've got colleagues and friends who are missionaries in Italy, and our church has partnerships with churches in Italy in the Veneto region where there is a terrible outbreak at the moment. People are really suffering. And just 2 weeks ago, you know, we're making this announcement in front of the church like, hey, mission trips to Italy are still on. And guess what? Christians are known for running towards sickness, running towards danger, running towards people who need us. And so that's the posture of our church, is we're gonna still move forward, we're still gonna go. But David, stuff has changed so wildly in the last 2 weeks. You know, that really helpful article from the Washington Post came out a couple days ago. We're learning more about the reality of coronavirus spreading through people who are asymptomatic. So we're learning more that's showing actually the loving thing to do right now, now that we know more about this disease, is to not go towards it. It's to stay home. It's to stay isolated. And so for Christians, this is totally counterintuitive. And we're finding ourselves totally upside down. And we're just praying, God, show us how to love. And we became convinced, based on, you know, some of the latest research, that the most loving thing to do is to stay home. And it feels very strange and counterintuitive, but we think it's really the right thing to do. So that's what we're doing.
I had a conversation with a friend last night, and he was just talking about a church in his neighborhood who's sort of taken that opposite approach of what you're talking about, where they're like, well, no, we're not going to be held down by this. Like, we are a people of faith, and we walk by faith, not by sight, and just very sort of like overtly, I mean, I want to say ignorant of like the realities of things. Right. And so we were just going back and forth with it, and I just kept thinking, but these people wear seatbelts. Like, they, you know what I mean? Like, they say that they're almost like afraid to admit the realities of a situation, that somehow that's like anti-faith, to be honest about just the realities of things. You know what I mean? Like, they're almost like afraid that they say it out loud, that somehow they've lost their faith.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've seen some crazy headlines after this past Sunday of churches that have been being even more like flagrant in the way they behave to sort of say, we're not going to let coronavirus scare us. But I think to go ahead and acknowledge science and reality is not to be without faith. We can have both. I mean, we 100% believe God is on his throne. God is sovereign and good and kind. And as R.C. Sproul said, there's not one maverick molecule in entire universe that God does not rule over. He is in charge. But we are in unprecedented and really strange times. So we have to walk in wisdom as well. And James tells us God gives wisdom to anyone who asks without finding fault. And so we're begging him for wisdom. And I really think the right thing to do is to not respond in fear. We don't stay isolated because of fear. We stay isolated out of love. And we have to come up with really creative ways then to reach out. You know, I have never texted quite like I have before in the past couple of days. I'm checking in, you know, with church leaders, church friends, women's Bible study, the ladies I disciple, the women who are in my core group. I mean, I am texting all day, every day. Hey, how are you? How can I pray for you? How's your anxiety? Sending Bible verses. There's ways to show love even from inside our homes, even though it feels weird. Mm. But the danger is real, mm-hmm. the danger of spreading it. I don't know if you happen to see the headline about, and I hate to call this one woman out in South Korea, but this one woman, after showing symptoms in South Korea, went ahead and went to church and went to a buffet for lunch. And mm. it has been discovered that she is linked to thousands of cases of COVID mm. in South Korea. Mm-hmm. So it's really true. Yeah. One person saying, you know what, I'm fine. No big deal. I'm going out. You can personally be responsible for the sickness and even yeah. death of so many others. It's just not the right thing to do.
Yeah. No, it's true. And it's, yeah, I just so that idea of wisdom in the midst of, like, faith and wisdom mixed together, right? Like, it has to be this helpful balance of these things, right?
Right.
I don't know. I just, that idea of we need to be wise. We need to be people. And because the world is watching,
yeah.
right? Like, the world watches how we respond in situations like this. And I think that to be careless and not thoughtful and to not be like Christ, right? Who's thoughtful in the way that he handles things,
yes,
right?
That's really good. That's really good. Our friends, yeah. we, you know, as I said, we're friends with a lot of missionaries across Europe, and in particular, our friends who are in Italy, you know, they're in the midst of a community where less than 1% of people trust Christ. And mm. there's a huge level of anxiety and despair and depression because people are dying all around them. And so this family, mm. they can't go into homes, but they're sending texts, they're making phone calls, they're making sure people's needs are taken care of, going out and buying food and leaving it at the door. There are ways to mm. show love, and they're behaving differently because they're showing that they have hope in a transcendent, eternal God who holds their life in his very capable hands. And that is mm. speaking volumes to their Italian counterparts who are extremely anxious right now. So this is, as you said, the world is watching, and this is an awesome moment for us to preach the gospel by showing great love, by being selfless in this time.
Yeah, no, it's so great. Is there anything in particular the Lord's teaching you, like, as you're self-quarantined in the Word? Is there anything specific that he's doing in your life or in your family's life that anything else? I mean, obviously the things that you're talking about are those things, but is there anything specific that you think
yeah.
he's teaching you in all of this?
I mean, I feel like I really am relearning two things that I knew were true. It's like, you know, but you don't know till you know,
yeah.
you know, before this. And one is that this teeny germ is causing massive downfall. And as humans, we're still frail. Our lives are finite. And so that it's just very humbling to be reminded that there's so much we can conquer. There's so much we have done that God has enabled humankind to really take care of. And yet we're still very vulnerable. And so that has been, you know, I've reminded of that. And then secondly, you know, where James says, don't boast about tomorrow. Say, Lord, if the Lord wills, we will do this or that. And so I'm joking with my yeah. family. I'm like, I feel like I need to say Lord willing after every sentence I utter, because reality changes every hour with every headline. And so it's just that sense of, you know, humility and frailty that our lives are in God's hands, and he will determine our steps. And we are small, but mm-hmm. he is big and he is trustworthy. We just have to look to the cross to remember how trustworthy he is, and to have peace in our souls that he will care for us whatever comes.
Mm. Yeah, I saw someone tweet something. Pastor Paul Washer tweeted out, I think yesterday or the day before, he was in an airport and there was no one there. Wherever he was, like,
wow,
there was just no one in the gate. And he just, the quote or the sentence he put over the picture was just like, the frail systems of man.
Yes.
And just the idea of, like, how in a moment everything can come halting. Mm. I'm totally off topic here, but when prior to ODG Apparel, I owned some businesses and felt like God had put me there on accident, like he was, like, somehow not sovereign. And I was like, man, I didn't think I'd be here. I thought I'd be a missionary. And just felt like I had to help God kind of get me out of this business that I didn't think I would be in. And I tried to sell the business, and it fell out of my control. Like, it literally fell apart. The deal fell apart seconds before it was supposed to be over. Like, I was telling people we were selling the business, and then it just fell apart, and I, like, didn't get out of bed for 3 days. Mm. I was so depressed. Mm. And in that moment, I really, not audibly, I don't even know what to say, but I just, the Lord spoke to my heart in the sense of, like, I do not need your help. Like, I do what I please, yeah. and I don't need your help. And, like, really pulled the rug out from under me so that I would trust him in the sense of, in all things, right? Because my fear was, if I grew the business, that somehow I wouldn't be able to get out. Mm. And so I kind of felt like this was that moment for me to sell, It was the only way I was going to be able to get out. And as if, like, if I grew it, God would be stuck. Like, his plans wouldn't be able to go forward because he'd be stuck with this big business that I couldn't get out. And he was just like, do what I've called you to. I've called you to this business. Do it successfully. And nothing can stop me. When I want you out, you're out.
Yeah.
Like, he just like, showed me in that moment. And similarly with this, it's like, nothing stops him from halting. If he wants to halt all of, you know, the world's economic society, everything, he can do it, obviously. We see it happening and unfolding.
Yes.
It's just humbling.
It is. It's very humbling. And I feel like this is a holy moment. And I pray that our very fast-paced, productivity-oriented, you know, our sense of worth and self is all wrapped up in what we can do and where we go and what we, you know, provide for the world. I just hope we as Westerners can slow down and not have this crazy schedule that we normally have and reevaluate what really matters. And as you say, remember that God is sovereign and on his throne, and what he wills will come to pass. And not only that, but he is good and kind. And we just have to look at history and the Bible and the cross to know that is true. But this is a moment. Yes. This is a holy moment where we can press a reset button. Obviously, there's so much pain and grief and loss, and we're going to face a lot more, I think, in the weeks and months ahead. But, you know, like Piper, let's not waste our quarantine. What can we be doing? What really matters? And let's focus on that right now.
It's true. I love it. Jen, thanks for the time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me,
David. And for your wisdom and insight and all of it. It's been a blast. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Ali Yared, back on the podcast to chat about just sort of the craziness going on. Ali, how's it going? How's it going by you with everything going on with coronavirus, and what's that like?
It has been strange how quickly everything happened. I think I'm currently
Because we chatted a week ago. I feel like not even that long ago, and we're like we weren't even talking about this.
Yeah, it's strange how fast things can change.
So did you say you're quarantining?
Yes. I actually have an autoimmune disease, so I thought it'd be smart just to be wise and not risk myself or someone else to get ill. But yeah, I've heard many different things. I think just like each day, like there's new information coming in of how people can carry the virus and not know they have it and not show symptoms. So I think it's just better to be wise than
sorry. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I think I'm taking it as an opportunity to just dive into the word, because usually I'd have excuses of being too busy or having work, and thankfully I don't have work the next 2 weeks, so that's an awesome opportunity just to get in the word and spend time connecting with friends through FaceTime, probably not in person, but still staying connected.
So practically, are you just like, I mean, are you around your family, or how does that,
like,
do you have to even be careful of that?
I think I personally, I'm okay seeing my family. I think I'm just being careful to not go in larger groups of people because a lot of my friends are coming back from mission trips and have been all over the country. And so just to take precautions for the next like few weeks, probably just play it safe and not to be worried, but just to play it safe, I think is wise.
And that's so important. Like, there's we've talked about it in a couple other interviews, like Christians can be mindful of safety, and that doesn't mean that we have a spirit of fear. Like that idea, like that's something that I hate to see right now, is this idea that somehow if you're mindful and cautious and aware of what's happening, that somehow you're not trusting God.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like it both can be true. You can trust God and also be like careful, right?
Yeah. Yes, I think it's also a lot of it is just being selfless in protecting people who are at more risk than you are, because a lot of us might be very healthy, but there are many people out there that are not, and protect them.
Yeah, that's so true. Like, I saw something that someone put out online that was like, it was meant to be funny, but he was being serious as well. He was just like, you know, all of you who keep saying don't worry about the coronavirus, it only kills old people. It's like, don't you know old people? Why does that not bother you? That old people are dying. Why are you treating it like somehow that doesn't matter? And it's like, that, like, we have to be careful and gracious, and we should be telling the world something with how we handle this as Christians. I feel like. Is there anything in particular the Lord's teaching you right now in all of this? Like diving into the word and what's coming out?
Yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 has just been on my heart recently. It says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And I think, like, with anything, like, with this right now, with the coronavirus or any other situation or circumstance, is like, we're called to rejoice. Mm-hmm. And our response should show who we worship, whether we're worshiping sports or whatever it is, all these things are taken away now, or school. And our response to this kind of epidemic should show that, like, our God is sovereign and we have full trust in him, and that we're going to be wise and selfless in how we care for others. So a lot of that goes into choosing to encourage one another and not to build up the fear.
Yeah, no, I love that. I mean, just, man, it's so easy to say rejoice in all things, and then all things happen and you're like, I don't want to rejoice. I don't want to rejoice. Right. I don't even think it's possible to rejoice. Right. Like, somehow we hear those verses and we think that somehow God was like, just like saying things, but he didn't really mean it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. This morning I got in the mail, someone stole my identity. And so I got like a bill from Verizon that was like $1,000 or whatever.
The last
thing like, right now. I'm like, and I'm seriously like, are you kidding me right now? Like, God, what is happening? And just all day I've been wrestling with that idea of like, rejoice in all things. And just honestly, I haven't even really wrestling with the idea of rejoice in all things. I'm trying not to be a crazy lunatic. That's like, that's the first step. The second step is like, right now I need to like, not, I didn't like hit anybody with my car because I was angry. So like, now that I've worked on the anger side, like, how can I actually rejoice? Because it's not enough to just be okay with it, right? Or to be like, whatever. It's like, we have to go that extra mile and say, no, God is good. He's sovereign. He is good to me in the midst of hard times.
Yeah. And I think that's so important too, because I know a lot of us are going to be feeling the anxiety, feeling the worry, but like, those feelings don't have to be true. And I think it's so important to be proclaiming continually, like, of these like verses that are true, like, to rejoice always, even when you don't feel like it. Because a lot of times, like, we're not gonna feel like it, but it is so important to just keep sharing truth, keep hearing truth, especially right now when so many lies and misinformation is getting spread.
I agree. Well, hey, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. Anything that we can be praying for you or for your community, your church community, like, anything that we can be thinking and praying about?
Yeah, I think just continued spiritual blessing, that we would be encouraged and have full trust that God is sovereign in all things.
Yeah, it's good. Well, we'll be praying. Allie, thanks for the time. We'll check back in a few days and maybe, you know, a week or two, and see how what God's doing in all of it. So thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Awesome, guys. I hope you enjoyed those interviews. We actually have one more really awesome interview with a good friend of ours, CJ, who is a someone who's been on the podcast before. And he's a writer, a speaker, and I really wanted to get him on the podcast. We couldn't make it happen, but I really wanted to get him on the podcast because he lives in New York City, and I know things are really crazy there. And so this is him sort of just sending us some of his responses to some of our questions and some of our thoughts. And so I hope they encourage you, and I hope that they lead you towards Jesus.
Dealing with the coronavirus here in New York City has been really interesting. I live in Brooklyn, where for the most part, it's almost business as usual. People are still out. You see a lot more people wearing masks, but for the most part, things feel normal until you go to the grocery store. So I went to Trader Joe's the other morning. They opened at 8 and we wanted to be there early. The line was out the door and around the corner. But then I went a few blocks away, and Trader Joe's, it's in an affluent neighborhood, so, you know, people there, they tend to have more money. So I went to another grocery store. I went to two other grocery stores, actually, and they were both completely empty, meaning the shelves were full. There were just no people there. And it dawned on me that what rich people fear is losing their money. They're not worried about anything else, because we've set this weird idol up in our lives where we think that money can shield us from life's calamities. We think that money can protect us from all harm. But we know that's not the case. And we've seen it over the last few days. There's been a few NBA players who have corona. Idris Elba, Tom Hanks. And so we're starting to see that even the wealthy can be touched by this. I work in Midtown. I haven't been up there, but Midtown is, if you're not from New York, it's one of our big business hubs. It's where a lot of people work. I work right across the street from the Empire State Building. I had an intern go in the other day, and she said the area was a complete ghost town. This is an area that's normally crawling with tens of thousands of people. And she said it was almost empty. So it's been weird in that sense. I think we have a really good opportunity as Christians right now. We have to be asking ourselves, what does it look like to be a light in the midst of this situation? So I think it's the Antonine Plague of the second century, where the Roman government essentially just left their people to die, and it was Christians who, at great risk to themselves, went out to heal the sick and to care for them. And I think that we can look in our age and we can say, what does it look like for us to be a light in that way? What does it look like for us to care for the weak and vulnerable in our societies right now? And so I want to encourage people to knock on their neighbors' doors, the elderly, the ones who have compromised immune systems, and ask, what do you need? You know, I was in the grocery store the other day, and I saw this older woman in there buying groceries for herself. Somebody should have been doing that for her. We should be on the front lines of care for people right now. My church right now, we're meeting digitally. We've got a bunch of Zoom conference calls set up. We've been simulcasting church on Sundays, you know, encouraging social distancing and telling people to take the necessary precautions. But we're really wrestling with, what does it look like for us to be a light? I don't have the answers, but I think that's a start. And I think that we can be encouragers. The two Christian responses that I've seen the most have been to either pretend that nothing's wrong and there's nothing to be afraid of, or to go into complete and widespread panic. And I think the answer lies probably somewhere in the middle, which is Peter's words in 1 Peter 5, to cast all our cares on him, to cast them all on God, who through Jesus gives us a peace that surpasses understanding. So I think for the Christian right now, we have an opportunity to display what that peace in this life looks like.
All right, guys. The last little segment is going to be about you guys. It's going to be about fans and subscribers. And so first, we're going to jump into a few interviews. I think it's two. A few interviews that we did with just regular people who follow us on Instagram, who are connected to ODG Apparel, but we just wanted to check in. And so we had a few people who raised their hand and said, I'd love to be on the podcast and talk about what I'm going through. And so you're going to get to meet those people right now. And then after that, we're going to jump on with Sarah, who's one of our basically best. She kind of runs the show over at ODG Apparel, and just sort of picked her brain on what she's going through, but also some other DMs and emails that we've gotten just from you guys. And we want to kind of put those on the podcast to encourage anyone that's listening. And so we're going to go from those kind of fan interviews right into an interview with Sarah and some of the stuff that she's interacting with you guys on Instagram and email and stuff. And so that will be the next little segment, and then we'll wrap this thing up. Awesome, guys. So this is Bryson on the other line. Hey, Bryson, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing, David?
I'm doing well. So, Bryson, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So, my name's Bryson, of course. I'm 17 years old. And
17 years old,
And you got connected with, I think Sarah, who works for us, connected with you on Instagram just through our post, sort of reaching out like, hey, we want to reach out to other believers and just kind of say, hey, what's going on in your life, your world through this whole like super big situation in the world? What's God kind of teaching you? What are you learning during this season?
I really just feel like God's showing his power, and I feel like he's showing us just not to be paranoid, just to have faith in him.
That's huge. And so what has it been like? I mean, where do you live?
I live in Texas, the Dallas area.
Okay, so what's that been like with churches over there, like meeting, not meeting? I know that's something that like churches keep going back and forth on. Like, what's that been like for you?
So our church itself, as a church body, we unfortunately, like no church wants to not go live to church, but we had to set up a Facebook Live so that like at least we got this service in. But as a student group, I go to the Mount, and it's a small church over in Keller. As a student group, we've been hanging out like individually at each other's houses, so it's not in public, but at least we still have that fellowship and get to be in the Word.
And that's so cool, like that we are able to meet, right? And it doesn't have to be like the church can still keep happening even in the midst of some of this stuff. And so is there any way that we could be praying for you and your church body?
So I mean, it's just, of course, hopefully just praying to God that it goes, that this whole virus thing goes away quickly so we can have like that fellowship in person. But just I don't know, allow us to reach out to more people in our area, just because there's so many people, and of course everything's a mission field wherever we're placed, and just be able to have that fellowship with each other as well.
Yeah, that's so cool. Hey Bryson, thanks for coming on, thanks for chatting with us. Hopefully people listening can see themselves in you, right? Like that we are all Christians out in the body in the midst of all this craziness. We get to be the body of Christ. And so I encourage you to keep doing that. I'm thankful that you're doing that. We're praying for you here over at ODG Apparel. And so keep going, my man. We love you and we'll keep praying for you.
You too.
You too. Have a good one, man. All right. We got Ryan. Is it Fingerson? Is that the last name?
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking a couple minutes just to chat with us on the podcast. So you follow us, you follow ODG Apparel, and you kind of got connected with us based on the post that we put out of just sort of like, hey, if we'd love to hear from believers and sort of see how they're interacting with this virus and sort of what they're thinking through, what their church might be thinking through. So how's it been sort of in your world and sort of what's that been like?
So yeah, it hasn't affected me too much up until this week. You know, it's kind of been, you know, the whole virus has been thing for the past couple months, but you know, you didn't think it'd get this big. At least I didn't think so. I just didn't worry about it too much. You know, everybody just laughed at the memes, you know, everybody. But then my school started getting a little more concerned about it. They're like, okay guys,
so where do you go to school?
Oh, I go to Palm Beach Atlantic University in West Palm Beach.
Okay. So what's the situation like with school right now?
Okay, so we weren't sure what's happening. I heard from other schools that they were sending kids home and stuff like that, but I was like, oh, they won't do that to us, will they? And so what happened Friday is I was in my first class of the day. My professor said, all right, so we're all going online on Monday. And we've been getting emails just repeatedly about, you know, just updating us. And the situation right now, we are allowed to stay on campus, but we are encouraged to go home. And a lot of people have already gone home. And I wasn't really wanting to go home because, you know, being on campus is something really special for me, and I love being with my
friends. Yeah, of course.
And everything. Yeah, it's something really different, and I love it, and I love the community here. But you know, just the whole, you know, we aren't physically affected by it, but we are kind of emotionally affected by it. And you know, it's not just my friends, but you know, it's people in other classes. You know, seniors, they want to be able to walk, and they don't know if they're going to be able to walk. You know. People want to know if they're going to be able to graduate on time, if their credits are going to go through. Thankfully, I don't have to worry about that this semester, I don't think. But still, it's just the hassle of figuring out online classes and everybody just being gracious with each other as we go through that process. And just, I remember Friday, like, it started that morning that we found out classes were going to be online, and it just progressed throughout the day, just making sure everything was in order, just making sure I got everything I needed, you know, making sure that my mom was okay with me staying on campus. And I just
are you staying then on campus?
I'm staying on campus at least for this week. I will probably go home Friday, and home for me is Fort Myers, so it's literally just a shot across the state. But yeah. Just because now classes are going to be online till April 14th, and so it's like, you know, why stay on campus for a whole month? You know, my friends are going home and stuff, so I'm like, okay, I should probably go. You know, I love to see my family, and but I just remember being exhausted that day, just like emotionally, like everybody's just emotionally drained.
That's exactly right. It just feels like definitely emotionally draining. And so how do you think the community at West Palm Beach, you know, which is a Christian community, mm-hmm. right, a Christian school, how have you seen God moving in all of this? How has he moved in your life? Like, what's that been like for you? Even if it's like, man, it feels like he hasn't been moving. I feel really far from God. Like, what's it been like sort of experiencing God through all of this?
All right. So the community in West Palm Beach, I love PBA's community. That is something that they really focus on. They always have events going on. They always have, professors are always really available to talk to you about anything, you know, even with everything that was going on Friday, you know, I was still able to meet with my advisor, and he was like, when I first met with him, he was a little bit stressed, but as soon as I was in there, he was all into it. I made sure that I got my questions answered, and he was just very present, and I was really grateful for that. That he would devote even this busy day
where
he's having meeting after meeting, and he's still like devoting this time to me to make sure that I'm gonna be okay with registration and everything. And we're getting emails saying, all right guys, we're still gonna stay in prayer, because you know, this is a time to really exercise our faith, you know. I think as Christians we are watched a little more carefully than the rest of the world, because you know, they are going to look to see if we're going to stumble and if we really do believe what we say we believe. And so we can either feed the fear or we can feed hope. And that is something that God has just been really teaching me through all of this, just to have hope. Like, there are days where, yes, I'm sad and depressed, but I can't deny it. I have something that pushes me on, that pushes me forward. And it is this hope that I have in the Lord, that he gives me through every day, that I know that this too shall pass. And this will pass. It may pass like a kidney stone. It's not going to be fun, you know. Are seniors going to be able to graduate? Probably. Are they going to be able to walk across the stage? You know, that may not be happening until summer. We don't know. Am I going to see my friends again until next fall? I have no idea. And it does make me sad. And I think it's okay to be sad about it even.
That's good. That's a good point. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to believe. It's okay to be sad and to be full of hope at the same
Amen.
Time. Or like it both can be true. It doesn't have to be, because I think sometimes as Christians, we pretend like we have to not only believe God, but we have to pretend like we're not feeling bad things. And it's like, we don't have to, we can have both at the same time. And so, no, I love that idea of like hope, you know, this will pass. We trust in God, but yeah, it's hard and it's scary. And it's, we're, you know, I think some churches and some people that I've interacted with are like pretending like it doesn't exist. It's like, well, that's not really helpful either, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
so anything that we can be praying for you, Ryan? Like as an ODG family, like anything that you're like, hey, we need prayer here. At West Palm Beach, or
just for the school in general, you know, that they make wise decisions, and you know, even for a little bit mad at them for a little bit, that we are really understanding and gracious during this time. And also for me, just to like, you know, be on top of school now that we're online, and you know, just still have hope through all of this. Like, I know that I will, but you know, you do have to make that conscious decision every day to trust God and trust that, you know, his plan is best for us.
No, that's good. Ryan, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. And we're glad to hear kind of what's going on in your neck of the woods, and just how we can, as Christians across the world, be, you know, in community, even if it's digital. So thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
All right, guys. This is a fun new little segment that we've never done before on the podcast, but I think this coronavirus sort of special edition warrants it. So we actually have on the podcast Sarah, who's basically the boss over at OG Apparel. Sarah, you basically do everything that anybody sees. And so I just wanted to bring you on to kind of talk through and chat through some of the stuff that people have DM'd us and just conversations that you've been having. And so I'll start with saying, what's it been like for you and your family just kind of walking through this whole corona craziness?
Hey guys, it's Sarah. It has honestly been, I can't say it's been a dramatic change for us. I honestly work from home remotely for Dave. I do a lot on the back end from my house, so I haven't seen a drastic change myself. It's been interesting watching the world around me change, though, even just littlest things of not being able to meet on Sundays for church and seeing my friends and family become fearful, not necessarily for themselves. I'm personally in my late 20s, so I'm not the most likely to be affected by this, but fearing for our parents and fearing for our grandparents that are still around and just having to learn that none of this is in our hands and to really lean into God, because every day is changing at this point for so many people, and we've had to learn to let go of control.
Yeah, I actually think right now as we're recording it, I think there is like a press conference happening. Like I just heard that something
I think
is
you're
going
right.
on
yeah,
regarding
no, and
travel.
I feel like it has happened daily. There's a new press conference and a new release.
Yeah, and I'm so not – I actually said to my wife the other day, I'm not really a news person. Like I don't normally keep up with like daily news. Like I'll listen to like podcasts here or there, but it's usually like kind of more philosophical thinking about what's happening versus here's the news, right? And so – I happen to be listening to like ABC, like, I don't know, some local news thing. And I listened to this video for like 5 minutes the other night. And I just came out and I was like, man, if I listen to the news every day, I'd be an anxious wreck. Like I understand it. Like I'm not a nervous person. And I was nervous after listening to the news.
Exactly. Same here. I like to think of myself as relatively even tempered, but there's definitely some anxiety around this.
Yeah. So what's the kind of conversations, because we kind of put something out there to sort of hear from people, and I think we even will have in this podcast like some interviews that we've done with just straight up people who follow ODG, fans of ODG, like friends of ODG, you know, who aren't just, you know, these famous pastors or speakers, but just people who are like, hey, what's it like as a believer? And so what's sort of those conversations been like kind of in the Instagram DMs and sort of things that you've been seeing from some of the people? I know you kind of picked a few that that you felt like really spoke to the time.
It's been very hopeful. Everyone has just presented us with verses that I don't even think of offhand whenever, you know, there's the, not to call them stereotypical verses in these times, but the Jeremiah 29:11s and the verses that everyone just looks to for hope. And it's been honestly comforting to me to have these conversations with people and even hear about how they're normally incredibly anxious people, which I'm not. So I, like I said before, I'm even tempered. I don't feel emotions strongly typically. And so to hear where they're coming from and to know what they're leaning into, it just provides a new level of comfort. And then just how their communities are reacting as well. It's been really cool learning about you guys. I've enjoyed it.
So what do we got? What are some of the ones that popped up in the DMs?
Awesome. So first we have from at CMS Loco, L-O-C-O, they sent over to us a verse from Psalms that has really been speaking some life into them, at Psalms 4:8. I will lay me down in peace and sleep for you alone. Lord, make to me dwell in safety. And they just told us that this particular line of Psalm has been with them over the years as they've battled with different things in their lives, mental illness, anxiety, and that particularly this past winter, it had been especially hard for them. But right now, while the whole world is kind of flipping upside down, it has just brought them a ton of peace.
It's good. Yeah, that's really good. It's crazy how like verses that you don't necessarily remember or you're not like thinking about all the time. Like we all have those verses, but then there's verses that someone else kind of leans into that in these seasons can really bring light to other people.
Exactly.
That's good.
No, it is. Then we also have, it was Adventure On with Chris. So it's like adventure underscore on underscore with underscore Chris. He sent over to us that 2 Timothy 1:17 has just been bringing him a lot of encouragement in this time. He just shared the word grace. The verse says, but when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. And he just said that through that verse, it reminds him that we need to like seek out our neighbors,
That's good.
And love on them. We are needing to lend a hand if monetarily possible. We know that this is having a huge economic impact on so many people. So not everyone can help their neighbors out monetarily, but if possible, help them out in that way. Sharing the gospel with them, because at this time, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few, as Chris worded it. So just not just helping them physically, and we can also provide spiritual strength for them as well.
Yeah, it's just a matter of being even intentional, just to like think about, man, how can we serve each other, right? Because we have to kind of be creative, right? Like Christians can't, none of us can underestimate just how God's gifted us to be creative in times like this, right? Yeah. Like that we would fill in the gaps in the midst of all the craziness, that Christians would find those holes and like fill them in. Like kind of, I think of like paint, like throwing paint onto like a sidewalk that's like got cracks in it, like how the paint will just find those little crevices and cracks and holes. And
we all have something that we can use, even if we're in need ourselves. There's still a little bit of ourselves that we can give. So that was a really
even if that is our need, right? Like sometimes just saying, hey, I'm struggling out loud, help someone else say, oh wow, okay, like, I'm not alone,
I'm
or whatever it may
to
be.
Share that too.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
good.
No, definitely.
Got anything else?
Yeah, I've got a few more. From Elijah.love.lace. They shared with us Proverbs 3:6 that they've just found really encouraging, especially with this time. It says, do not worry about anything, and instead tell God about everything. I personally am an ESV person, so I love pulling up verses in different translations. And it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. So no matter what we're going through, as long as we are looking towards him, he'll get us through to the other side.
Yeah. And it might be a difficult road, but he's going to get us there.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good.
We also have, I'm so sorry, I'm going to say this wrong. Rebe, REBE_Maj, M-A-J. And she didn't,
it's close enough.
Yeah,
I feel like
I got close. She didn't have a verse to share, but, I just really loved what she said. She said, as I've been watching so many offices, schools, and churches closing, I've been continually reminded that the church is not a building. We had online service this week and we FaceTimed for Bible study last night. COVID-19 is reminding us all that the church is a group of people. And social distancing doesn't put our relationship with God on hold.
It's good. It's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm thankful that we do this, right? Yeah. Like that we have ODG apparel, and that we're, again, it's always been more than just, quite frankly, just an apparel thing, right? Like it's always been about how can we start conversations. And even if that's like, I'm not really a super digital person, right? So it's crazy. And you know that. Yeah. And so it's weird that I'm like running ODG apparel, but just the fact that we can connect with people over the country and the world and just speak truth into the midst of the chaos. And so I'm thankful for everyone that reached out to us and connected. And we have, you know, so many more messages from so many different people. And I would just encourage everyone listening, like, continue to interact with us and other people. And like, we want that. We desire that sort of community with people who are connected to us. And just however ODG Apparel can point people towards Jesus in this season, however we can help, we want that. And so shoot us a DM. Reach out to us over email or Facebook Messenger or whatever. And just, so hey, Sarah, thanks for jumping on and chatting with us, and I'm glad that the world got to meet you. And so awesome. All right, there it is, guys. This has been a really fun podcast for us, but also just humbling, right? Like, I think if coronavirus has done anything, it's humbled me to realize that I can't control tomorrow. I think I can, right? As someone who runs a business, it feels like you can control a lot. And that's just sort of my nature, sort of my sin, I guess. But I can't. We can't. God is in control. God is good. God is big. God is really, really big. And he is over all of this. And my hope is that in every one of these interviews and every one of these conversations and every second of this podcast, that you heard us pushing you towards Jesus. And seeing that he is king on the throne, that the coronavirus doesn't knock him off of his throne. The coronavirus is not something that surprises him. It doesn't confuse him. Yeah. So I just hope and pray that this was encouraging to you. And I would encourage you to DM us and email us. We want to hear from you. Tell us what you think about this podcast, but tell us where you're at. Tell us how we can serve you, how we can pray for you. If you feel like people need to be encouraged, I hope that you would send this to them. I guess if it's encouraging. If it's not encouraging, then don't send it to them. But if it is encouraging, if it did what we hoped it would do, I hope you send it to people that you can't necessarily connect with physically or give them a hug or a high five, but you can send them this to encourage them. And I would just encourage you guys to pray and find ways to be creative, to be the church, to care for the orphan and the widow and those who are unable to care for themselves right now. And so, yeah, be the church, right? For a lot of people who are listening, the young generation of the church, I would just encourage you to be creative and to use your gifts to go out and sacrifice. Don't be unwise. Don't make bad decisions. You know, follow kind of the protocols that we have in place, but be someone who's creative, who's finding a way to care for those who can't care for themselves. And however ODG Apparel can partner with you and help you in that, we want to. We love you guys. We're thankful for you for listening. Keep seeking Jesus. He's worth it.